Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here's a great headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Contrary to predictions, U.S. consumers earned more income, saved more money, and spent less in April. New U.S. government data shows, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, personal income rose by about $210 billion. This was up from the upwardly adjusted 0.7% jump in March. Last month's readings represented the largest month-over-month increase since May of 2021. And far exceeded the consensus estimate. That was basically what we got out of the latest inflation reports, is all the fear campaigns, all the tariff war fear porn in the media, not just CNN and MSNBC, but even some of the local outlets that were just taking part in the nonstop fear campaign. And then now, inflation is easing across key sectors. You got gas and energy prices down 20% year over year. Food prices, including eggs, have declined. Consumer earnings increased. But like what I just told you about, low inflation combined with rising real wages. That's what we're seeing. That's what Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent talked about on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. By the way, he really went after the host Margaret Brennan at one point as well. I got a great soundbite that we can get to here later this hour of the show. But yeah, that was just one of the stories in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here. Evelyn Pyburn is enjoying the day off today, so we won't have our normal back to business segment, but at least wanted to sneak in some of the business news there. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, I was able to catch up. Speaking of the constant fear porn coverage that comes out of the media. Remember how they were claiming that, oh, Donald Trump's going to do away with the Department of Education and it's going to be awful for education. It's like, no, actually everything will be fine because that money will go to the states, which are responsible for education anyway. And so, in fact, teachers on the left and right for years have been saying we need to get rid of all these federal mandates in education. Anyway, Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund shared an update with us. I was able to catch up with her recently here, so I'll share that with you here in just a couple of minutes. But first, this is a really cool radio giveaway that we're going to be doing over the next several weeks with the opportunity to win once a week. So for the next several weeks, we are going to be sharing trivia about each of Montana's seven tourism regions. And then at the end of the week, one lucky listener will have the chance to win a tourism package provided by the region. Week one is focused on Indian Country. I don't know if you guys knew this, but there are over 140 museums across Montana, several of which prominently feature Native American history and culture, and recognize and honor Montana's tribal nations and citizens. 28 national historic landmarks across Montana. But for this week's giveaway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. And looks like they've got a Sun Tours guided tour for four people. So it just sounds like an incredible opportunity. It's a Blackfeet-owned and operated family business. Again, go to visitmt.com/giveaway.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, along with some scattered showers and storms around the area at times today. High temperatures will stay back at around 60. For tonight, we'll see scattered shower chances early on, followed by some lingering clouds. Low temperatures upper 30s to lower 40s. And then on Tuesday, we'll see a mix of clouds and some with a spotty chance for a shower in the afternoon, with highs in the low to mid 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a big media buildup for what was billed as the farewell press conference with President Trump and Elon Musk. But it was mostly Trump. Elon Musk didn't have much to say. One of the things he did was he deflected a question about a big New York Times story that appeared that very day detailing what was described as his frequent drug use and how it was so bad that it affected his bladder. Well, Fox's Peter Ducey tried to ask about it, but Musk jumped in and said, oh, New York Times, nobody can believe New York Times. What about the Pulitzer Prizes 2018? In other words, totally changing the subject, never got back to it. At the same time, Musk didn't have to answer to why he had broken with the president about the big tax and spending bill, which he said would undo all the Doge cuts. Nevertheless, it may be it for Elon Musk in terms of his Washington appearances, but I don't think so. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I wrote this back in February. If there's one thing that has seemed to unite teachers on the left, right, and in the middle, it is the unfunded mandates targeting our teachers from Washington, D.C. over the years. And that's why Montana's superintendent of public instruction says it is so important that power is returned to the state's superintendent. Susie Hedlund, great to see you here in studio once again. I know you got to hit the road to Miles City, so let me just turn the mic over to you. What do you want to share with our listeners across the state?
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you so much. I am happy to be here. I am really excited, like you said, about what is going on with the Department of Education. We're looking forward to returning the work to the state, and we are just building the capacity to take all of that on. And we just received our federal funding for special education, the IDEA funding, and we're level funded, same as last year, as well as for Title I Part A. We received our funding level as we have in the past. There are still other funding streams that we're waiting for, but I think that that was great news. There was a lot of fear mongering going on about how that was going to work out or what was going to happen, and that's why I was, you know, making those trips and contacting the White House, and had the honor of meeting with the president to advocate for the funding that's important to Montana and make sure that they knew what we were looking at. So we were excited to have that funding come into the Office of Public Instruction.
Yeah, and yeah, you basically predicted that. You didn't cave, you didn't buckle. And you said, look, folks, I've been in frequent communication with the Trump administration. The important stuff is going to get funding, and the garbage is going to get thrown out. And that's basically what's been happening. Important education funding is continuing to move forward. And then on the Montana front, more funding now to boost pay for entry-level teachers. This is something that for decades, even though more and more money was always going to education, entry-level teachers were always getting the short end of the stick, especially by the teachers' union establishment at the higher echelons.
Exactly. We need to make sure that we honor the profession and that we have a livable wage. We are working on recruitment and retention efforts, and so the STARS Act is going to really help that, raise up that base pay for entry-level teachers, and then, you know, as well as making sure that they're prepared for the job. It's a little bit different these days. So I'm excited about my collaboration and the relationship I have and have continued to build with the commissioner's office. We have started working on meeting regarding the educator preparation programs and making sure that those teachers are truly prepared for the classroom today. So I'm excited about that work.
What do you think has been the most important work that you've been doing in your first just few months in office now?
Oh, that's a tough one. During the legislature, that was obviously tough just to walk in and you know, advocate for school funding right off the bat, present our budget, and make sure that we can move forward. I'm excited about what I've heard from the field and the increase in customer service and support that we're offering at the Office of Public Instruction. It's really important to me that when people call, they get an answer. Someone's on the phone, they get an email returned right away. So just increasing that community communication and support to the field has been really great, as well as getting out to the meetings and out to the schools and just making sure that we're there and providing consistent information with our partners in education. So that has been really exciting work. I've been working on making sure we have more opportunities for our high school students. So with the commissioner's office and with the Department of Labor, we've been working on CTE and career and technical pathways, just making sure, and that's also part of the STARS Act, making sure we have all of those opportunities for our students across the state. Senator Sheehy and I got to tour the state and talk to kids about military academies, and we have, you know, as you know, and thank you for your service, we have one of the highest enlistments in the nation in the military, but we don't fill all of our seats in the academies. So we're making sure that students know about that. We're increasing our support to military families across the state of Montana.
Yeah, it's huge, because we've seen where sometimes the education establishment has tried to block the military from even having access to, like, high school students, for example, as well. But what are you seeing with all the woke nonsense, the anti-American critical race theory, the woke radical transgender stuff? I mean, President Trump's really putting a halt to this across the board. We're hearing a lot about, you know, his fight to clean up our college campuses in particular, but there's been a lot of cleanup on aisle K through 12 as well.
So that was something that was huge. We had to have every school certify that they were not going to have any DEI in their schools in order to make sure that their federal funding would continue. And in other states, I talked to my colleagues, you know, like in Wyoming, they had to receive 40 because there's 40 school districts. In Montana, we have 418 LEAs. So that was a big lift. So that was a ton of work. Our team did a phenomenal job of taking all of those in, and we got 94%. The only ones we didn't get back from very small schools, and we just pulled their certifications from July. So,
and those are the ones that probably are the least likely to have the problems with pushing the anti-American woke stuff in the first place. It's more the Missoulas and the Bozemans you really got to be worried about, and frankly, sometimes Billings too, given the liberal school board there.
Yeah, we received those certifications from every district that they would be in compliance, and made sure that they had the communication on what that meant. So, we were happy to get that done and get that taken care of for Montana.
All right, there you go. Yeah, it was great to catch up with Superintendent Susie Hedlund. That was last week. I think around midweek, she was running off to Miles City, so we got a very quick update from her, but hit all the high points there. But, yeah, here you go again. The media, just in full freak-out mode, trying to scare the pants off of all the school teachers. But, hey, Republicans just delivered a big pay raise for entry-level teachers. Democrats never wanted to do that. They wanted the teachers unions to just reward the teachers union bosses and then screw over the little guy.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's one thing to be said about the status quo in any organization, and that is at one time, at least, everyone agreed with it. Finding a consensus that's at least tolerable to groups of leaders with different views is hard work, as every Montana legislator knows. And so at least starting with the status quo has a certain appeal in efforts to forge something new. What if that status quo is piloting a Titanic towards an iceberg dead ahead? The federal government budgeting process is a poster child for the status quo. Huge, untouchable entitlements that plow forward, an exploding debt interest payment that must be paid, and a small slice of discretionary spending that has been continuously rolled over through the passage of endless continuing resolutions. And there is an iceberg ahead, a bond market that's already sending out signals that its appetite for forever financing our huge budget deficits may be waning. And so the familiar Washington budget needs a shakeup. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. June is Men's Health Month. The Indiana Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute says men are less likely than women to get medical help. Around 60% get routine checkups, waiting for symptoms to become bad before seeking help. And because of that, many men go undiagnosed with conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and mental health disorders. The Institute identifying several critical key health issues men face. First is heart disease, the leading cause of death for men across all demographics. Regular screenings for blood pressure and cholesterol are recommended. Then there's prostate prostate cancer is the second most common cancer among men. Mental health, many men are affected, but seeking treatment isn't a regular action, and suicide remains a leading cause of death for younger men. The Institute says you can participate in Men's Health Month by scheduling regular checkups, promoting healthy lifestyles, raising awareness, and supporting mental health initiatives. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
So, this is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
What is the state of the farm bill? That's a question so many farmers and ranchers are asking. I spoke this week with Idaho rancher Kim Brackett, who's vice president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We caught up during the Montana Stock Growers Association's mid-year meeting in Butte, Montana. And this is what she had to say on the farm bill.
Well, I think it's important to recognize we're almost in June of 2025. The House has spent 6 months getting their reconciliation bill across their finish line. We're now looking at the Senate and how much time that may take. So it feels like a really unlikely chance of getting a farm bill finished in 2025. However, in that reconciliation bill that the House passed, there are several farm bill provisions included in that, the ones that are tied to the federal budget. So we're pleased to see parts of that moving forward, but we're still focusing on maybe next year getting a full farm bill package across the finish line.
Now, if you recall, we are running on an extension of the 2018 farm bill, which will expire at the end of September. Policy experts expect another extension of the 2018 farm bill, which of course the 2018 farm bill was drafted and created around agricultural issues and statistics from way back in 2014, 2012, and 2010. Just something to think about as Congress continues to push back the advancement of a farm bill. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a couple of great callers on the phone line, so we'll jump right into it. Also coming up a little bit later, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy weighing in on the Islamic terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, plus Scott Jennings on CNN, what he had to say about that. First, though, let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, what's on your mind on this Monday? Great to hear from you.
Well, I talked to Tony O'Donnell. I'm sure you know who he is. He's running for city council. And he talked about the water issue. And I did not know this. Apparently, there's been a billing issue with the water where people were charged an astronomical amount. And he says that if he wins, then he's going to try to retroactive that for the last 3 years and make you pay only $70 or whatever your water bill was 3 years ago, make it retroactive. Have you heard about the water issue?
Yeah. Basically, last summer it was, everybody started getting hammered with these massively high water bills. And people are like, what the heck is going on here? And then the city brought in an outside auditor. And yeah, I'll tell you, you know, if you wanted, and then they claimed, like, there were local TV news reports that says, oh, well, the auditor says there was nothing wrong, no problems, nope, everything's fine here, nothing to see here, folks. I tell you, another guest you should get on is Jennifer Owen, who's on the city council right now, and she's actually announced a run for mayor of Billings. Because I remember I saw her, I said, so I saw this TV news story that claimed that this audit said there were no problems with the water billing. And she's like, yeah, that's total nonsense. There was a whole host of problems that were identified. But they just, you know, kind of tried, you know, but the media tried to act like, you know, oh, no, everything's fine, nothing happened, and then just move on. No, I think there's a lot more that needs to be looked at there, right?
Well, speaking of my podcast, I want to let you know I'm going to interview Harriet Hageman tomorrow, and it'll be published probably sometime tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, hey, that's great.
You might want to check that out. I'm grateful that she's coming on, especially since I'm a little podcaster, but that's awesome. I'm thankful that she's coming on.
Well, you do a great job. Yeah, it's the Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone for anybody who's not familiar with it, Kevin and Billings. Kevin, you should, if you want to send us a clip or two or maybe a, you know, an extended interview Q&A, like, you know, 3-minute clip or something on top of some shorter ones. We could, if you'd be okay with it, we'd play that on the radio and share some of the
absolutely
highlights.
You can.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, if you want to send
something
our way.
I was wondering, Would it be possible for you and I to host a show together sometime?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. Shoot me an email, and we'll figure out when to get together and do your podcast. That'd be a ton of fun. It'd be an honor to join you, that's for sure. All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Next up on the phone lines, we've got a caller, Jane Doe in Bozeman, listening to 1450 KMMS. Hey, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I attended a town hall in Bozeman on Saturday. It was heavily promoted. All the news coverage, news stations covered it, social media, and it was called a community-led town hall where make your voice heard, all voices welcome. They basically were covering the federal budget cuts and tariff impact on the community, but they said the conversation was open to immigration and anything else that concerned Bozeman residents. So they had invited Danes, Sheehy, and Zinke. It was a small event, maybe 90 people. It was held at the fairgrounds in a livestock barn. And the organizer was Trey Alvey. He's a scientist. I'm assuming he's affiliated with MSU.
Yeah, he's a big far-left Trump derangement syndrome guy. I remember reading something about him. Yeah, he's just one of these far-left activists, yeah.
And then are you familiar with Roland Hodson Pickler, associate professor that held the, it was the rally Stand Up for Science in March?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Okay. So he was there also, and
he sounds like he makes way too much money that we have they're taking our taxpayer dollars. He sounds like he takes way too much of our money.
Oh, absolutely. He's MSU is $250 million a year in federal research funding, and he's one of their top guys up there. So he makes a lot of money, and their minds are absolutely blowing up because of federal funding. You know, he's big funded by NIH, NASA, and they're losing their funding or their funding's put on hold, and they are having just a fit, and that's what this was actually about.
Oh, yeah, but of course, I'm sure you read about it in some of the local media, and they made it sound like, oh, this is just a town hall meeting to talk about these issues. No, it's just a bunch of radical left-wing activists. And all of these groups, by the way, I don't know about this group in particular, but they've all been funded by these Soros-connected groups to just go push this anti-Trump agenda. And so it sounds like, the moment I read about this, it's like, oh, here we go again. I wonder if Sweater Boy Mark Roscoe was there. Did he show up with his... All right, there we go. Got the Fox News update in there. I was chatting briefly there for just the last 30 seconds or so, a little bit more, with Jane Doe calling in from Bozeman on the phone lines here. So you were telling me how, you know, they made it sound like, oh, it's this open town hall where anybody can speak. But but of course, they despise anybody who says something different from what they believe. And so you were telling me a woman spoke up and talked from a conservative standpoint, and they heckled her. And then you got up. What did you speak about?
Well, when I first got up, I spoke about, you know, they are making projections of what may happen if their funding is cut. And I said, why don't we just wait a year? Because you also projected there weren't going to be any employees at the Yellowstone Park, and we actually have more employees than ever. You also projected that, you know, or there were news reports about PBS lack of funding, and PBS just broke ground up at MSU on a $34 million building, I believe. So just why don't you just wait and see instead of making all these negative predictions? I mean, they predicted, you know, nobody's going to have welfare, there's not going to be education for our kids, there's not going to be food on the table, even though we just passed the Medicare expansion bill. I mean, they just are doom and gloom, and the sky is falling. And then as soon as they started mumbling and grumbling and saying rude things from the audience when I was talking about that. Then when I went into immigration, they lost their minds. And by then, Dan Springer had left. He had been standing in the back for the whole meeting, our sheriff, and he was gone. Luckily, there was security there. And when I brought up immigration, they went crazy. They got hostile. They started yelling at me, saying I was a liar. I said, just go to its public record. You can look at the jail roster. You'll see we probably still have 15 very violent criminals, illegals in there, pulled for ICE. Yeah. I don't know why they're still there.
They don't care. I mean, they're all in on the open borders agenda. They stood by and cheered as Joe Biden and John Tester invaded this country with 20 million plus likely illegal aliens. And now they stand by and jeer if anybody dares to complain about it. And now they act like, oh, no, that's not happening in Bozeman. That's not happening in Gallatin County. They're a bunch of left-wing activists. They're all affiliated with these George Soros-funded groups. I had to go back and look. I was trying to remember what was the research program that was cut that was identified by DOJ at Montana State University, and this one really got on my nerves. It's the Minerva program. What a joke. It was a $3 million Department of Defense grant for climate change research in Africa.
In Africa,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's why are we wasting our money on that? And so I made the point, hey, the stupid stuff is going to get cut, but the overwhelming research projects at MSU are going to continue and are going to continue to get funding. But some stupid thing like climate change in Africa that this far-left professor was pocketing our money over on this joke of a research project. Yeah, sorry, buddy, you're losing your money, which means hopefully we get to keep more of ours and stop subsidizing your left-wing nonsense so you can show up at these stupid anti-American rallies in Bozeman. Hey, thanks for the call. That was great.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, where do we start? Yeah, great phone call there from Bozeman. The other thing that she wanted to mention is that, you know, she said that after she got up there and spoke, you know, with all these left-wing wackos in the room, hackling anybody that dared say something different from, you know, from their dogma, she said that she actually needed a security escort to get out of there. Says she was verbally assaulted and threatened by a deranged lefty. The mob followed her out of the building. She says the moderator and the mayor did nothing. Or was it the vice mayor who was there, the deputy mayor? Anyway, that's how nuts these folks on the left are. Absolutely nuts. But then look at their nutty policies. Look at what they stand for. Speaking of that, so Scott Jennings, CNN's Scott Jennings, who joined us here on Montana Talks, a couple of weeks ago, we had a great conversation with him. So he was doing his, you know, CNN panel discussion once again, and they brought, do you guys know who Debbie Dingell is? Representative Deb Dingell. She says the Democrats need to stand for something. We Democrats need to stand for something. And Scott Jennings was like, you do. We know what you stand for. That's exactly why you guys got rejected at the ballot box, because people now fully know exactly what you stand for. Here you go. This is that's Scott. Let me get up the other soundbite here. That was the Scott Bessent clip. I'll play that one in a second here. This is Scott Jennings on CNN.
Democrats have to stop being against Donald Trump and start being for something.
I'll defend the Democrats. They are for things. Illegal aliens, for boys and girls sports. I mean, you are for things. And that's why you have such struggles right now in your party, because you're not for anything that's on the right side of any of the 80-20 issues that are driving this cultural divide in America. I think Westmore's actually a pretty talented communicator. The other person who spoke in South Carolina, Tim Walz, is a special mixture of extreme buffoonery and a mean spirit, which is a toxic brew. He is not the future of the Democratic Party.
Oh, man, yeah, Tim Walz, I forgot. We've got another montage of Tim Walz. So Tim Walz is he's pretending to be tough now. You know, the guy who put tampons in third-grade boys' restrooms is pretending to be tough because he thinks he can be the Democrat presidential candidate in 2028. And so the wimps, you know how the wimps pretend to be tough? They just throw in a lot of F-bombs. They just cuss. They have to pretend to be tough by, you know, including cuss words in all their public speeches. Maybe we'll get to that one. Maybe we won't. Something we do have to get to here, though, is President Trump is giving the failing Democrats some free advice. This comes from the Trump War Room. First, though, I got to play this one. So our caller from Bozeman, she talked about how, you know, these left-wing activists at their so-called town hall meeting in Bozeman over the weekend. They were talking about tariffs and how awful the tariffs are and how, you know, how much the tariffs were going to lead to price hikes. And have you ever noticed that these folks on the left and the Democrats, they never complain about the tariffs that other countries put in place against us? They only complain when we want to reciprocate and say, okay, you're going to charge us, we're going to charge you. So these Democrats actually love tariffs. They love it when American companies get punished by tariffs. But you want to charge other countries tariffs? All of a sudden, they don't like tariffs. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was on CBS's Face the Nation over the weekend. Here you go.
The reality is there will either be less inventory or things at higher prices, or both.
Mark, when we were here in March, you said there was going to be big inflation. There hasn't been any inflation. Actually, the inflation numbers are the best in 4 years. So why don't we stop trying to say this could happen and wait and see what does happen?
All right. Yeah, there you go. So they were claiming they were making all these. It's kind of like our earlier conversation with Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. They were claiming this was going to happen to education, that was going to happen to education, and it hasn't, and it isn't. They were claiming this was going to happen with tariffs, and that was going to happen with inflation, and it didn't. In fact, the inflation numbers were actually better than they even, than all these so-called experts expected the inflation numbers to be. All right, but back to the back and forth between Scott Jennings and Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. And yes, I saw on X somebody asked the question, wasn't that the congresswoman who was falling asleep during these hearings in the last couple of weeks? Yeah, that's her. She's the woman who was busted, just passed out, racked out. She was doing the rucksack flop during a congressional hearing, just kicked back, just having a big old nap there. Like Sleepy Joe Biden, out to lunch. And so that's the woman who said, Democrats need to stand for something. And then Scott reminded her exactly what they stand for: illegal aliens, boys taking trophies from girls, and so much more. But here's President Trump's free advice for what he calls the failing Democrats.
Does they have an emergency plan to avoid being swept from every battleground state again by spending $20 million to study how to speak to American men?
Well, you know, they spent $2.8 billion. We spent $1.5 billion. We spent much less. We spent about half of what they spent. And at the end, they were $28 million short. They had to be, they spent $2.8 billion. That's a lot, but they couldn't get $28 million at the end. And now they want to spend, I read that, they want to spend money to learn how to talk. That's fake. You don't want to be fake. You shouldn't have to hire consultants to say what America needs, because, you know, then they should be, the consultants should be running the deal, not them. But I read that they want to spend a lot of money in each state. So we won all seven swing states, seven out of seven. We won a lot more than that. We won the popular vote. We won everything. And they want to spend money to find out what they did wrong. And I mean, I could tell you what they did wrong. I could tell you every one of their programs. When they say men playing in women's sports, I would say that's not a winner. When they say transgender for everybody, I think that's not a winner. When they say open borders so the entire world's population of criminals can pour into our country, I don't think that's a winner. I mean, I just gave them that for free. But I don't know if they'll change their ways. I see them all the time. I see people that I know in Congress, Democrats, they're trying to justify some of the things I just said. You can't justify them. They're, you know, I always say they're 80-20 issues. I say they're not 80-20, they're 97-3. They might be 99-1. They're not 80-20. They wish they were 80-20. And they're wasting a lot of money if they're going to continue with that nonsense.
Yeah, President Trump talked. You could hear Peter Ducey, Fox News White House correspondent in the background. President Trump talked about their failing programs. Programs that fail, programs that work. You guys know about programs that work because you've heard me talk about Billings Last Diet. Man, I'll tell you what, that program works. We were talking with Dr. Dale Williams last week, you know, about prescription drug prices and what President Trump is trying to do on that front. That, you know, in a similar regard, you know, we, the American people, spend all this money to subsidize the research and development for prescription drugs, and then all these other countries pay less for prescription drugs than we do. We pay more to subsidize the R&D. The whole rest of the world gets to benefit from it, and we pay more. And President Trump is trying to stop that nonsense. Well, think about this. Think about if you're somebody who's struggling with being overweight, how many prescriptions are you taking to deal with blood pressure or things like that? Now, Tim and Savage, man, it's so cool. He's been sharing his story publicly with us. Tim, who calls into the show from time to time, sends us messages on the Montana Talks app. So he was listening in on our conversation with Dr. Williams from Billings Last Diet last week. And we were talking about prescription drugs and things like that. Well, he said that, you know, before he went to Billings Last Diet, you know, he had high blood pressure. So he was taking medications for high blood pressure. And just a little bit into Billings Last Diet, he no longer had to take that blood pressure medication. And then now that he reached his goal, he lost 100 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. He said his charts are the best they've ever been. Best they have ever been because he lost the weight through Billings Last Diet. And now has a great lifestyle moving forward. So anyway, stuff like that are just such great stories to hear on this show. I'm telling you, this program works. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call, 294-6751. And by the way, Tim lives in Savage, which for those who don't know, it's near the North Dakota border. So he used the remote option. If it works on the North Dakota border, it'll work in Bozeman, it'll work in Butte, it'll work in the Flathead. BillingsLastDiet.com. Let's see. Speaking of President Trump, apparently former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich has a brand new book out, Trump's Triumph. He was on with Mark Levin over the weekend. I can maybe share some highlights of that from that for you here coming up after the break. Or if you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring right now, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well if you want to send us a quick message there. 406-294-0970. Man, there is so much to talk about. So you guys tell me. You tell me. What should we talk about next? We've got everything from Giorgia Meloni calling out French President Macron. We've got, you know, the MAGA Minute that Caroline Leavitt put out. So many great things to get to. That's why we need your guidance. Where do we go next?
This episode is brought to you by Temptations Cat Treats. Your cat will come running for the perfectly irresistible Temptations Creamy Puree and Temptations Lickable Spoon Cat Treats. The best time to feed lickable cat treats to your cat is anytime. Feed by hand for a playful moment, in a bowl for a creamy treat, or as a topper to make mealtime fun. Visit TemptationsTreats.com to learn more.
I'm a conservative and an animal lover, so this announcement from the Secretary of the Navy really makes me smile. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
Animal testing is cruel and with new technology also increasingly unnecessary. That's why I'm so happy to hear the announcement from the Secretary of the Navy that all testing on cats and dogs will be terminated. The Secretary's proclamation also rightfully stated that not only is this practice inhumane, it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. He also thanks Secretary Hegseth and Doge for bringing it to light. This goes even further though. The Surgeon General of the Navy will also conduct a review of all medical research programs to ensure they align with ethical guidelines. Doge has also had a hand in ending ridiculous trans experiments conducted by the NIH on various animals. This is a big deal, and I hope even Trump and conservative-hating liberals can get behind it. I can't think of a better savings for taxpayers than ending the cruel and unethical treatment of defenseless animals. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, along with some scattered showers and storms around the area at times today. High temperatures will stay back at around 60. For tonight, we'll see scattered shower chances early on, followed by some lingering clouds, low temperatures upper 30s to lower 40s. And then on Tuesday, we'll see a mix of clouds and some with a spotty chance for a shower in the afternoon, with highs in the low to mid 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Man, if you guys missed it, we had General Michael Flynn join us for a good chunk of time during Thursday's Montana Talks. He joined us in the 8 o'clock hour while he is on the ground in Bozeman, Montana. You got to check it out. Full conversation with General Michael Flynn, MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app, or if you listen to podcast services like Spotify, you can find that and much more there as well. Yeah, General.
Your first month when you dial pound 250 and say keyword, Micro, Pure Talk, a wireless company that actually stands for something.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, let's see. Yeah, the MAGA Minute by Caroline Leavitt. There was another one. Yes, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Maybe I'll save that for the 8 o'clock hour of the show, because there is just still too much to get to, still too much to talk about. Hillary in Bozeman just sent us a message. Was the meeting that Jane Doe was just discussing in Bozeman, was that recorded? So that fake, phony, left-wing, so-called town hall, was it recorded? Hillary says, I attend Bozeman City Commission meetings weekly, and I would like to address the lack of response from Deputy Mayor Joe Morrison. So, yeah, so to our previous caller, if a recording is available, or heck, if anybody else out there knows if it's available, send us a message on the Montana Talks app so that we can share that with Hillary. Okay, I want to pick up kind of where we left off last week. We were talking about the communist Chinese and how Harvard University, the same Harvard that fought to discriminate against Asian American students, they wanted to discriminate against Asian American students, but yet they allow more than twice the number of students to go to Harvard from communist China. So they don't want Asian American students, but then they allow more than twice as many students coming from communist China. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem was on Fox News Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo talking about President Trump's efforts to trim back on all of these foreign students having full access to this country.
How much money, or do you know if Harvard has taken money from China?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know specifically. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, because these foreign students for years have paid full tuition. Plus, they've also gotten grants, special participation in programs that China has financed and brought forward. So, these ties to China are deeply alarming, and they're not just Harvard. There's other universities. We're going through every single one of them. If you come to this country to learn, you're a foreign student, and you recognize the opportunity, that's fantastic. But don't come here and spy on us and take that information back home to an enemy that is working to destroy us every day. And China has infiltrated this country. It's my job to protect the homeland, and I've been given that direction by President Trump. They will not participate in this foreign student program until they clean up their ways.
Now, speaking of China expert Gordon Chang he's going to be in Montana later this week. In fact, Friday night, that's already this Friday, Gordon Chang is speaking out in Columbus. He'll be in Columbus on Friday night, and then he will be in Miles City on Saturday. He was on Fox News over the weekend talking about how China has weaponized their students attending school on American soil.
Thanks, John. 277,000 Chinese students in the United States. Is there any way to know how many of them are legitimately trying to, further their education?
That's difficult to ascertain, but we do know from surveys that about 13% of Chinese students have committed acts of espionage against the U.S. And we got to remember that China's 2017 National Intelligence Law requires them to spy if they receive a demand. And more important, the Communist Party's top-down system means that no Chinese national can disobey an order from the party. So China has weaponized students in this country. And by the way, there are Chinese consular officials, Ministry of State Security agents who coerce, monitor, and surveil Chinese students while they're on our soil.
Well, and they had Chinese police stations established right here in the United States. That was only recently uncovered.
Yes, and although the FBI was great, they closed down one of them, the one in Chinatown in New York. The Daily Caller and New York Post reporting says that there are about 7 to 9 more in the United States, and they're spread across the country.
Yeah, just one more thing that was allowed to happen, allowed to occur, some might say promoted by the Joe Biden, John Tester regime of the last 4 years. All right, we got phone lines open, plus Ashley Smith-Thomas joining us later on in the 8 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's one thing to be said about the status quo in any organization, and that is at one time, at least, everyone agreed with it. Finding a consensus that's at least tolerable to groups of leaders with different views is hard work, as every Montana legislator knows. And so at least starting with the status quo has a certain appeal in efforts to forge something new. But what if that status quo is piling a Titanic towards an iceberg dead ahead? The federal government budgeting process is a poster child for the status quo. Huge untouchable entitlements that plow forward, an exploding debt interest payment that must be paid, and a small slice of discretionary spending that has been continuously rolled over through the passage of endless continuing resolutions. And there is an iceberg ahead, a bond market that's already sending out signals that the appetite for forever financing our huge budget deficits may be waning. And so the familiar Washington budget needs a shakeup. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.